Rebel Force Radio presents.
Hey, Siri.
Yes, Jimmy Mac.
Call Swank, please.
Calling Jason Swank.
This is RFR Rush Hour.
Jason, are you there?
Hey.
I wanted to call you because, as you know, we've already wrapped up the show for this week. So we recorded last night, had Pete Nadel join us, and we discussed all kind of things. But today, there's big news. Big news coming from The Hollywood Reporter. Headline reads, Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi film in the works. This is an exclusive from The Hollywood Reporter.
Who would have thought Roger Daltrey would be directing a Star Wars movie? It's incredible.
Roger Daltrey, you mean the singer from The Who? No, it's not him.
Yeah, isn't that who's directing the movie?
No, it's not Roger Daltrey. It's Oscar-nominated filmmaker Stephen Daltrey. So what they're saying is...
Stephen Daltrey.
Yeah, the Daltrey I never heard of before. He's an Oscar-nominated director behind Billy Elliot and The Hours. Is in early talks to helm a Star Wars standalone movie centering on Obi-Wan Kenobi, The Hollywood Reporter has learned. So that's pretty cool news. I mean, we were even speculating it on Rebel Force Radio, which is going to get released later, Friday. We talk about the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie a little bit, and then I punched in an update into this week's show. But we don't really get a chance to discuss, you know, what this means. This is not a confirmation, but it is coming from the sources that the Hollywood Reporter can tap into. And they have some pretty darn good sources. They have a great track record. They're one of the more reputable movie reporting outlets that is in existence. They rank up there with other outlets such as Variety and newspapers like USA Today. I mean, these guys are not going to run a story unless they're 100% certain that it's true. And they're not saying, you know, rumors say or anything. They are reporting this as news. So there is no...
They call it an exclusive.
Yes.
So they're touting this as news that they're breaking. Not really a surprise, as you said, Jim. We were talking on the show this week, and that idea was thrown out again. And I said, I think it's inevitability. I think they're definitely going to do it. But it does, in my opinion, it does show somewhat of a shift. We've both made comments that it seems as though since the Disney acquisition, there's been little attention paid to what we'll call the prequel era. And if we're getting a standalone Obi-Wan film that will assumedly star Ewan McGregor, why would it not? It does put this new era of Star Wars back into sort of the prequel milieu, we'll say.
It could, but its connection could be closer to the original trilogy if they choose to shoot a film about Obi-Wan Kenobi where he's living in the desert, he's based on Tatooine. I think that...
I don't see them doing that.
You see them...
I really don't see them... Yeah. I don't see them doing that. I think that was what Rogue One was doing. I think Rogue One was sort of the Star Wars episode 3.9. I don't think they're going to make Star Wars episode 3.5 or even... 3.2. I think this is likely going to be Star Wars 3.1. I think that they're going to use this as an opportunity to not just tell, and this is a prediction I'll make, to not just tell Obi-Wan's story, but I think they're going to be bold here, and I think they're going to juxtapose Obi-Wan's exile and how he's dealing with his newfound exile right alongside Vader, and as he comes to terms with what happened to him. I think it's the most artistically satisfying as well as the most bankable in terms of box office story they could tell.
Do you see Ewan McGregor returning to the role? Sure, he said many times that he's open to it. But if they go too far back, I don't know. But you definitely think it will...
They aged him. They aged Ewan for episode 3.
Yes, they did. They did. I'm taking that into account. So he could slide back into the role, probably with less makeup. But sources stress that since there is no script... No actor is attached. So they would have to bang out a script and convince Ewan McGregor to get back on board if they don't completely recast.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, that's just because actors like Ewan McGregor have, you know, they have script privileges, right?
Yeah.
Where they don't have to agree to anything until there's a script. So that would be my take.
So here's a follow-up article on The Hollywood Reporter regarding the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. And they have a rundown of things that you should expect from the film, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What to expect from an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. So they're saying it's high probability that the standalone Obi-Wan Kenobi movie currently in development will feature the Jedi Knight taking on Tusken Raiders. Tusken Raiders. So to me, that I don't know. I feel that ties in more to the original trilogy than the prequels. But we did get Tuskens in the prequels, too. So,
yeah.
You know, hard to say.
I'm really hot. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it'd be a nice backdrop. It'd be a nice moment or scene where we see Obi-Wan learn that the blast points are too accurate for sand people and that they always travel single file to hide their numbers. I mean, some of these things would be nice, but outside of the fan service of a few throwaway lines, I don't think I want to see a 2.5-hour movie of Obi-Wan taking on Tusken Raiders. Kind of saw that in episode 2 with Anakin's raid on the Tusken camp. It didn't really prove to be much of a foil for Anakin. So outside of there being, you know, I think a moment, I don't really see that, at least I hope not, becoming a major plot point.
Yeah, I find it interesting they opened their article with that, but that's what they did. So it says it's highly probable that any Kenobi movie would take place in the period where the character is hiding on Tatooine while the Empire rises throughout the galaxy around him. Well, we see that the standalone films are definitely targeting that area of time between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. Han Solo film based in that era. Rogue One based in that era. And the Kenobi can be based in that era, too, because I think the Rogue One sets up the galactic conflict and the rise of the Empire very nicely, and also the rise of the Rebellion. But that's more, you know, that's taking place on the battlefield. I think that there's room for a Star Wars film that may lean more on the spiritual end of Star Wars and start investigating the Force and what the Force is all about. You know, taking a deeper dive into the spiritual pool. So they also say it's a 30-year gap of history between the two trilogies. That's wrong. It's more like 20 years, but whatever. I'm not going to nitpick them.
Yeah, Luke is not 30 years old.
Old Ben
that's
Kenobi.
Sure.
We'd see him, become more and more comfortable with the disguise of old Ben Kenobi. Oh, here's one for you, Jason. A recurring feature of Marvel's current Star Wars comic book is The Journals of Old Ben Kenobi, a framing sequence in which Kenobi writes of his adventures during his self-imposed exile. These stories are intentionally smaller in scope than those traditionally shared in Star Wars and see him working mostly undercover to deal with local threats to local communities whether they're bounty hunters, criminals, or Tusken Raiders.
Now, wait a minute. This is appearing in the pages of which comic?
This is in the current Star Wars ongoing book.
Ah, so they have these little cutaways.
Yes.
Of several panels telling the story of Obi-Wan on Tatooine.
Not only Obi-Wan on Tatooine, but also sharing stories about Yoda and some adventures he went on prior to the events of the prequels. It's just he's just sort of sharing. And so it just makes me wonder if one of these books can be found on the planet Octu with Luke's little shelf of books there. Maybe one of those is the Journal of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, when you mentioned that this Obi-Wan film could start to, or perhaps have a very spiritual vibe to it, it could make sense. I think they're going to be perhaps opening that can up a little bit in The Last Jedi. We assume. We've never seen paper books before. Those are meant to tell us as fans that these are ancient.
Right.
Ancient texts.
Yes.
And so they're going to be expanding, hopefully, the mythology of the Jedi and the Force and all of that, and that, you know, the Obi-Wan film could pick up on those themes. So maybe they realized that there was an opportunity to create some cohesion and some symmetry and actually build upon, you know, not just the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, but to also have some of these standalone films tie into the sequel trilogy as well, even though there's many, many years difference.
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right, sir. So is there anything you could think of that you'd really like to see revealed in a Kenobi film? Is there something we're leaving out?
Back after Revenge of the Sith came out, or right when Revenge of the Sith came out, there was a series of junior novels. I think it was called The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it was called The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. And it was about Obi-Wan on Tatooine. And the idea was that Obi-Wan was sort of a, not a vigilante, but a troubleshooter. And that sort of, I think of him like, Bruce Banner in the Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk series.
Just kind of
going around and, you know, you wouldn't like me when I get out my lightsaber. Don't make me get out my lightsaber.
Oh, with the sad piano in the background.
Mm-hmm.
As he goes walking along, making crate dragon sounds as he walks off into the desert. Sad piano playing in the background.
Absolutely. And can't you see, you know, there have been two really beautiful collectible pieces that have been put out one was a statue, I believe, is Gentle Giant, and the other, I think, is Sideshow Collectibles is doing, or Hot Toys is doing an action figure, you know, and I can't really call them action figures, but a posable figure of Obi-Wan in that sort of between Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor look.
Yeah.
We looked at that up close at Rancho Obi-Wan.
Right.
It's a really beautiful piece. And I think about that Obi-Wan still kind of holding on to some old clone armor, anything else he might have been able to cobble together before he went into exile, you know, walking off into the sunset, you know, the twin sunset at the end of each episode, you know, with, like you say, with sentimental piano music going on.
There it is.
But
yes.
There was also, I remember reading that. I didn't read the whole series, but I remember reading the first one, and there's a moment when Obi-Wan is in a cantina. I don't know if it's the Mos Eisley cantina, but he's in a cantina, and there's a holonet recording.
Yeah.
And he sees a holonet of Vader very briefly. And that's when he knows. He gets the feeling, and that's when he knows that Anakin lives.
I actually have. Yeah. You won't believe this. I actually have that book. It was just like right on top of this pile of books I have here.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on. Is this the one where he discovers that Darth Vader lives?
Yes.
Well, this is a book called The Last Jedi, The Desperate Mission by Jude Watson.
Yeah.
And
is it number one? Does it say number one on it?
No, there's no number on it.
I think that's it. I think that's the one.
The Desperate Mission. So this is the first, because it talks about him, overseeing Anakin. He reflects on his relationship with Qui-Gon. He has a friend named Wheezy.
That's the one. Wheezy.
But where does it, because I recall reading that, where he was sitting in a bar, getting his drink on, and I looks up at the TV, and it's like, meanwhile, in Imperial news, Darth Vader was out and about on Coruscant, and he was spooling pasta with General Tarkin, things like that.
Now, here's how I would do that, because I love the idea of that scene. But I also realize that it's ridiculous to have Darth Vader standing there talking to a Star Wars-style microphone giving comments to the press.
Yeah.
But what I do love is I love that the Holonet might have just caught a glimpse of him coming off of a ship, and there's mystery of who this enforcer is for the Emperor. As the Emperor becomes less and less visible, this guy becomes a little more visible. But then every time you think you're getting a shot of Vader, Tarkin steps in front of the camera and the microphone and gives some sort of political statement. So Vader's just sort of just always off screen a little bit. But Obi-Wan sees it and can't believe it.
Well, he wouldn't recognize Vader from the armor, but he would recognize the name. It's the name. So he'd just be kind of in the background, sort of like that bald guy in the Jerry Springer show, where, what was his name, Steve?
Exactly. Yeah. He's the bouncer.
Yeah. And then eventually Steve got his own show. So look at Vader.
There you go. Well, Vader, Tarkin died and Vader got the next two movies. So
for sure.
I'd say he came out on top. But that's how I would do it. I would hope that Vader would always be very, very mysterious, largely unknown to the general population. He might be the guy that all of the conspiracy theorists in the galaxy believe exists. He's like the black helicopter that only a few people have seen. That's the Vader I'd like to see. But I would love for this film to sort of contrast the two paths that these men are on. Vader and Obi-Wan.
Ooh, that's an interesting thing.
Because they're both alone.
Yes.
They're both alone. They're both in isolation.
Yes. I like where you're going with this. Include Vader in the Kenobi film. That's a thing. That's something I never even thought about.
Even if they never meet in the film, obviously.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. But maybe there's like, they take note of each other's presence via the Force. Or maybe Ben discovers Anakin is still alive via communication with Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon probably tells him some sort of riddle about the Chosen One. Who knows? Oh, that's really cool. That is some fun stuff to think about. I really enjoyed the Kenobi novel that John Jackson Miller wrote a few years ago.
I haven't read. But from what I gather, I would enjoy it.
It's good. It's such a smaller Star Wars story, and it's all about Ben out in the desert. He does deal with Tusken Raiders. He deals with other farmers, people who have their own homesteads out there. They have sort of a community, a government kind of in place, it's the Wild West, of course, it's loosey-goosey, but he interacts with these people. And he's considered to be weird and awkward and stuff.
Yeah.
But he does find moments where he has to use the Force, and the people around him, there are some who catch a glimpse. And so it's interesting how he has to keep it all on the down low.
Right, and the legend starts to grow. People start telling stories, and I can imagine about, you know, the crazy old man. But I've always had this kind of fantasy about how I would start the Obi-Wan film, and I've actually kind of thought, you know, I've sort of blocked this in my mind, sort of what storyboarded it, I guess, is a better term, but you know, where you would see it'd be just before dawn. And this figure would arise and don these tattered robes, fill up the, you know, the canteen with some water. You wouldn't quite know who it is. We kind of assume who it is. And then goes on this kind of long, difficult journey through the hot desert, climbing some rocky mountains or some, you know, some rocky cliffs, and like, what is this guy going through all of this for? What's he trying to prove? And finally perches himself up on a cliff. Maybe he runs across a couple of sand, you know, some Tusken Raiders, but finally he reaches his destination and he pulls himself up on the cliff, pulls out a pair of macro binoculars, and we see what he's looking at. And we see the young boy at the homestead.
What you're describing, it's very similar.
He's sort of like Batman, you know, up on top of a big tall building in Gotham looking over his city. But in this case, it's Luke.
And that is definitely reminiscent of the Twin Sons episode of Star Wars Rebels and how that ended. With Obi-Wan watching out over the homestead, sees a little kid run across the exterior there. Yeah, I mean that could be absolutely some way.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but better.
But better. Yes, I get it. I get it. It's interesting that we're even talking about.
I would want this thought. I'd like this idea that this is. This is his routine. It kind of reminds me a little bit about when you're introduced to Rey. There's something about the way they make that first sequence when we're introduced to Rey, where you immediately know this is her life every day.
Yes.
You only see it one time, but you know this is her life every day. And so that idea of that dedication and him putting himself through that. And then I, of course, would love some sort of confrontation with Owen. You know, some kind of, what, you know, what are you doing here? Haven't I told you before, you know? And you could also get episode 2, episode 3, Owen back, perhaps.
I would like that.
His name is escaping me.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that. I would like to see the relationship between Obi-Wan and Owen. And because there's a history there. I'd also like to see Luke and Ben. You know, don't save it for when we see the two of them together in A New Hope, because we know they know each other. So they'd have, you know, how do they know each other? Is it something normal? Like maybe they invited Ben Kenobi over for dinner one day or something like that, you know? Or is it something?
He says, "Tell me." He says, "Tell me, young Luke, what brings you out this far?"
Yeah, so he knows. They have a relationship prior to that, and perhaps
because you're right. Because he says, "I thought he meant old Ben Kenobi."
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You're right. That's something I never really gave much thought.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that they are aware of each other,
yes.
Clearly. So, you know, maybe there's not a need for Ben to do it in such secrecy. Though it would be kind of creepy.
Well, that's just
if
it.
Luke was aware.
That's just it. Yeah, I was always under the impression that Ben maybe did have a regular relationship with the Larses. Maybe he did stop by for dinner on occasion, what have you. But I think sooner or later, Owen just didn't want him around because maybe he caught Ben trying to influence Luke in some way, or try to convince him, you know, oh, you have much more potential than you realize. You know, something crazy like that. And he's like, what are you telling the kid? What are you telling the kid? Why are you putting these thoughts in his head? Just let him grow up a normal person. From the family he comes from,
he's
just
going to say, look what happened to you, buddy.
Yeah. Look at you.
Uh-huh.
You lost everything.
You want that for Luke?
Right. And so,
it's almost like if you really care about the boy, if you really care about Luke, you'll walk away.
So maybe that's how the relationship became strained between the two of them. I mean, Luke even knew where Ben lived. He's an old hermit who lives out by the Dune Sea, so there's much more familiarity between the two of them. Then I think a lot of times we just kind of forget about that and take it for granted. So that's something that perhaps they can include in the Kenobi film. For sure. So, all right, man. Yeah. Well, good. You know, I'm going to have to boogie because I have a lot of other RFR business I need to take care of tonight. But I just, because we recorded the show on Wednesday night and this news dropped today, Thursday, I thought our Patreon pals would enjoy a little exclusive conversation about this breaking news here from you and me. So thank you for making the time. And
this is sort of like late night rush hour for me. It's about 9 o'clock. Had a long day today.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure did, pal. You sure did after a long night last night. So.
Yeah. That's all right. It's all for Star Wars.
It's all for Star Wars, and it's always great to hook up with you and talk about it. And so to celebrate the fact that it looks like we will be getting a Kenobi film, I'm going to wrap up this show with a song from our pals in Blue Harvest, Andy Lith and the crew. And this is their parody of Stevie Wonder's Superstition, but it's Kenobi instead. I think that's what it is.
Awesome.
So we'll give that a little spin, and while you listen to it, you can think to yourself about all the cool things you'd like to see in a Kenobi movie. And if you got some really, really cool ideas that me and Jason didn't even get close to discovering or touching upon, why don't you float us an email, show@rebelforceradio.com, or even better yet, leave us a voicemail. You know, a lot of people have asked me, how do I get my message out there on Rebel Force Radio? Well, sending an email is always great, but sending a voicemail is even better because we work within an audio realm here. So would love to hear your voice. Guys, girls, give us a call. Our voicemail is 24/7, 365 days a year, always in service. So you can call at any time you desire. Area code 708-320-1737. That's 708-320-1RFR. And give us a call. Remember that hotline is for entertaining, not complaining. And it's my old friend Johnny B used to say that all the time. So we'd love to hear from everyone. So give us a call if you have some thoughts about the new Kenobi film, and we'll play it on the regular weekly RFR. But thanks a lot for joining us on the drive home. Jason?
Yeah.
Jason, thanks a lot, man. No,
my pleasure. This is great news. This is awesome.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, we'll catch you next time here on the Patreon exclusive RFR Rush Hour for Rebel Force Radio. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy Mack.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
Come here, my little friend. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. Looking for. Looking for.
You don't need to see his identification.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He can go about his business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Move along, love, love, move along.
Strange old man, Obi-Wan Kenobi. than Yoda has been. When you believe the Padawan of a bloke called Qui-Gon, who was a hairy man. 20 years of exile out in Tatooine. Kenobi is his name.